Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Up in the attic, Wilbon, for what seems like an eternity, let us start by circling back to the draft over the weekend and what we both thought was the biggest story in the draft, in which the Green Bay Packers moved up to take a quarterback, Jordan Love, in the first round without telling Aaron Rodgers they were going to do that. Aaron Rodgers has since congratulated Jordan Love, and Matt LaFleur, the Packers coach, believes that Rodgers will be a great mentor for Love. Are you as confident as Matt LaFleur is?
Well, Tony, look, this all depends on what their relationship is, how it evolves, how it starts. I mean, is Jordan Love the kind of guy who's prickly and a young gun is going to walk in and say, yeah, I'm here to take your gig. Nice seeing you, old man. Or is he going to walk in sort of hat in hand and say, yeah, I love you. You're one of my idols. I mean, I'd like to soak this up and stay out of the way, sir, whatever you can do. What's the approach going to be? I don't know Jordan Love. Aaron Rodgers doesn't know Jordan Love yet. So it depends on what Aaron Rodgers wants to do. The notion that Love is going to sit for 4 years to me is insane, because nobody does that anymore. This is not the 1960s. They're not making anybody sit for 4 years. So Aaron Rodgers has to decide sort of what he wants to do and what kind of mentor he wants to be based on their interactions.
The issue isn't whether Rodgers is going to be a good mentor. He's going to be better to Love than Brett Favre was to him. The issue is, what are the Packers doing exactly? What is a second-year general manager and a first-year coach doing trading up to go get a quarterback in the first round, a deliberately obnoxious move? Don't have the stones to tell Aaron Rodgers they're going to do it. You tell me this. You tell me, how, this is a 13-3 team. How does that improve the Packers this year exactly? Because it doesn't.
Well, the only way it improves him, Tony, is if Aaron Rodgers was to get hurt. And I think he's been hurt a couple of times in his life, but he's pretty damn durable. He didn't miss a lot of time. Look, Tony, I'm not going to fault the Packers for looking out for the Packers' best interest. But as Aaron Rodgers knows, he better look out for his own best interest. This is what, when people talk about the NFL being the most cutthroat business in a cutthroat industry, this is the kind of thing they're referring to. So I don't want to hit the Packers. But if you're Aaron Rodgers, you got to look out for yourself. Am I right about that? You agree with that?
I think Aaron Rodgers ought to consider asking for a trade. That's how much I think this is a ridiculous pick on their part. Aaron Rodgers does not have around him what Mahomes does, what Breeze does, what even Garoppolo does. Every year they don't draft anybody to help Aaron Rodgers. And they say, you're so great, go out there and turn water into wine. And pretty much all the time he does that. This could not happen on any other team in the league, because other teams have owners. And you would have to go to the owner and say, we're thinking of trading up to get a quarterback. And the owner would say, what? What are you, nuts? Get out of here. So that's my position on this one.
Well, let's go to controversial draft picks for 200, Tone. The Eagles used the second round pick, number 53 overall, to select Jalen Hurts to be Carson Wentz's backup. This pick has confused some, since the Eagles have such a huge financial commitment to Wentz already. So does it make sense to you that the Eagles drafted Hurts?
It did not make any sense to me, because they're paying Wentz so much money and because he's sufficiently younger, for example, than Aaron Rodgers. But I had our friend Peter King on my podcast this morning, and it made great sense to Peter King. And this is essentially what he said. Wentz gets hurt a lot. He's missed 13 games in the last three seasons, including the playoff run to the Super Bowl. He said, so therefore, on that team, on the Eagles team, backup quarterback is one of the 10 most important positions. And he pointed out, and I want to get the names right here, that one of those guys is Nate Sudfeld and one is Kyle Lauletta. And it was Peter King's impression that this was a really smart pick because Hurts would be an upgrade. So I'm going to go with Peter on this. How about you?
Well, Tony, Wentz hasn't missed a ton of games. It's not like he's been hurt and wiped out seasons, but he can't close. He hasn't closed. I mean, he's been unavailable at the end of seasons, which the Eagles think they have a team built for the end of the season. So this is okay. This is not quite like the Green Bay Packers situation. They committed all this money to Wentz, so you know they They just committed. So you know they want Wentz to be their starter. But look, this league is a two-quarterback league, Tony, for most guys. You know, not everybody's Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Guys get hurt. They need a suitable backup. You need more than a suitable backup. You need a backup who can allow you to continue to compete like the Eagles did when they won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. So I think it's reasonable. I really do.
Yeah, one of the things that Peter said, and he mentioned the name of Taysom Hill, and he said he's not going to play as much as Taysom Hill, that Hurts won't, but he believes that Doug Peterson is an offensive innovator, and he will get Hurts out there for 6 or 7 plays with Wentz on the field. My only reservation before we go to the next story, Mike, is this. It said if you're Carson Wentz, I think you look at this as an antagonistic move, and I think there's a possibility down the road of conflict, and that'll play out this season. We will stay, having mentioned Taysom Hill, we'll stay with that for a second. Taysom Hill was given an enormous contract for 2 years by the New Orleans Saints. He's the second highest paid backup quarterback in the entire league. So you think that they're grooming him to take the place of Drew Brees. But apparently the Saints are trying to acquire Jameis Winston at the same time. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, Tony, it sort of does. If you look at their quarterback room last year and what they had with Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill behind Drew Brees, and Bridgewater had to play. Yeah, I mean, Sean Payton likes apparently to carry 3 quarterbacks, and he likes to use them. He can actually use them. You talk about an innovator in Doug Peterson. Well, you know, that's the case in New Orleans as well with the staff they put together. And they're going to put Taysom Hill out there probably in more plays. You know, he's a quarterback slash. He does other stuff. So, yeah, and you're only committing 1 year to Jameis Winston, Tone. And Drew Brees is 40 or 41 if he's going to be that this season. So, yeah, it does make sense to me, particularly based on how that has operated in recent history.
So I've got a great statistic for you. Taysom Hill, in his career, has completed 7 passes to Saints players.
I know
Jameis Winston has completed 10. Okay, interceptions, but he's completed 10. I agree with you that it's a pretty good idea. Jameis Winston not only was the overall number one at one point, but he's from that division. So he knows Carolina. So he knows Tampa Bay. So he knows Atlanta. He might be useful because you play those teams 6 times in a full season, if there is a full season. And Mike, Drew Brees almost retired this year, and it's been announced and confirmed by him, I think, that he's going to go in the booth at some point. You don't know when that's going to be. You may need a bridge quarterback from Brees to Hill.
Get to your next guy, yeah.
To me, Winston's fine. He's fine for that, yeah.
Well, I mean, you would think he could be coached up to sort of cut those interceptions if he cuts it. If he can cut it to a mere 20, his team probably would have been in the playoffs last year. Tony, let's get to the last dance. Last night, of course, Michael Jordan took some fresh shots at Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons for not shaking hands after losing to the Bulls in the 1991 Eastern Conference Finals. We're all familiar with that if you're old enough. And Isaiah has some thoughts on Jordan recently telling Fox's Chris Broussard that if Kevin Durant and LeBron James played now, because they're so superior in terms of their athleticism, that Jordan might not be considered the GOAT, because those guys would have dominated even the period when he played. To that, you say what?
All right, I say this. You can take LeBron and Durant, and you can put them in the NBA of 25 years ago. You can look backwards. And, of course, they're going to look like something more special than then. But I say this about Babe Ruth. If Babe Ruth came along now, with the training that comes along now, with the nutrition that comes along now, he hit 900 home runs because he was that great. Michael Jordan is that great. This is not about Isaiah Thomas making this pithy comment. This is about the fact that Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas don't like each other. Okay, Isaiah thinks that Michael Jordan kept him off the dream team, and Michael Jordan looks at Isaiah Thomas as somebody who's not in the league with Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. They don't like each other, to which I say, good, that's fine with me.
You know, I share some of these sentiments, Tony. I got a lot to say about this. Isaiah does really believe what he said about Durant and LeBron. We had this conversation, Isaiah and I did this summer, before the last day, last summer. So that has been 10 months. And so Isaiah believes that. But he and Jordan, of course they don't like each other. They shouldn't have to. They're rivals. They don't need to like each other, Tony. So this is interesting to me because as they talk about the handshake, John Sally has come out and John Sally has said, I would do this differently. Isaiah has said, I'd probably do it differently. Bill Laimbeer, of course, being the loathsome Bill Laimbeer, has said, no, I don't. But let me just say this, Tony. I'm so tired. My friends and relatives from Detroit, I'm tired of them. I'm tired of even the guys, the young writers I love to death, like Greg Moore out here in Arizona and Vinnie Goodwill, Detroit guys. And it's just whining. Wah! Detroit can't get over it. Get over it. Own it. Own what happened. You are a great team. A great team. You took out Magic and Bird to get your championships. You did it. So stop. I mean, these guys are great writers. Nobody can get over to Detroit. I'm tired of Detroit. And again, let me defend Isaiah just on this part. He believes this. That has nothing to do with The Last Dance. He believes the people are more athletic today than in his generation, which was the same as Michael Jordan's. But the Detroit Bulls thing, they hate each other. Good. I agree with you. Hate.
That's
hate
right.
On. Hateration. Drink some more.
That's right. And Michael Jordan made it clear he still hated the Pistons. This is the official bad boy position. It was articulated first by Bill Laimbeer, who said something to the effect that Jordan wouldn't be the GOAT. Jordan didn't involve his players when he first got into the league, and LeBron did. Laimbeer and Isaiah Thomas have taken this position. And let me say something else. Isaiah Thomas can hold a grudge. Michael Jordan isn't the only one who's allowed to hold a grudge.
That's
I am
right.
In favor of this institutional hatred. I am in favor of it.
Me too.
And now I'm done.
I'm absolutely in favor of it. It's good for the game. It's good for all sports, but you got to own it. I don't want to hear people run at it. That's the only thing I've ever liked about Bill Laimbeer in my life, and I'll never like anything else about him ever again. He seems to own it fine, but let it go. Detroit. With that, Tony, with that, we throw it back to Sage and Kevin in the studio.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Time for the happies. I go to the glasses because there's no prompter. Here we go. Happy 66th birthday, Herm Edwards. Most famous, of course, for saying, "We play to win the game," when he was head coach of the Jets. But before he became a coach, Edwards was a defensive back for the Philadelphia Eagles. And in 1978, Edwards scooped up the infamous fumble by Joe Pisarcik and scored to give the Eagles a 19-17 victory in what later became known as the Miracle at the Meadowlands to Eagles fans and ruefully as the fumble to stun Giants fans. All Pisarcik had to do was kneel down to win the game, but instead he attempted to hand off to Larry Zonka. Edwards has a 54-74 record as a head coach in the NFL for the Jets and the Chiefs. And then after spending years at ESPN as a commentator, Edwards took the head coaching job at Arizona State, where he's now 15-11. And Mike, for the second year in a row, he had a wide receiver taken in the first round of the draft as Brandon Ayuk went number 25 to the 49ers.
Tone, it's easy for me to root for Arizona State anyway, and I certainly root for them with Herm. And wait, if he can't go in the office every day, Herm's a really good golfer. Tiny little handicap, right, Tone? I should see if he's available. We do stuff like that out here in Arizona. Herm would understand. Rooting for the Sun Devils and Herm Edwards active.
Please don't make me jealous about your golf courses out there. Happy anniversary, Houston Texans. On this day 3 years ago, Bill O'Brien traded up to get the number 12 overall pick in the NFL draft and used it on quarterback Deshaun Watson from Clemson. Watson was the third quarterback taken that year, as you well know, behind Mitch Trubisky, who went to your Bears, and Patrick Mahomes, who went to Kansas City. Watson has quickly developed into a very good quarterback, although it remains to be seen how he's going to do now that the Texans traded his best receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, to Arizona. You are now seeing video of Bill O'Brien getting very angry in the third round of this year's draft. According to the Houston Chronicle, the source of O'Brien's anger was Detroit backing out of a deal just as the Texans were on the clock for the 90th pick. The Texans ended up taking Florida pass rusher Jonathan Greenard with that pick, Mike.
Tone, you know what I think of people trying to be general manager and coach? I think overwhelmingly, it don't work. And if I was Deshaun Watson and you let go of Hopkins, I'd be angry. Very, very angry.
Happy trails, Trent Williams, the seven-time Pro Bowl left tackle for the Washington Redskins, got his wish when he was traded to the San Francisco 49ers. Williams refused to play for the Redskins when he determined their medical staff had botched a cancer diagnosis on his scalp that required surgery, and he sat out the 2019 season. New coach Ron Rivera tried unsuccessfully to reach a peace with Williams and openly shopped him. Williams reportedly nixed the trade to Minnesota, where he could have protected old teammate Kirk Cousins. Going to San Francisco reunites Williams with Kyle Shanahan, who was offensive coordinator for the Redskins in Williams' first four seasons. The acquisition of Williams takes a lot of the sting out of the announcement that San Francisco's perennial Pro Bowl left tackle, Joe Staley, was retiring. Williams will plug right in, and all it costs the 49ers is a fifth-round pick this year and a third-round pick next year.
Tone, let me just focus on that last part. The Redskins, what they get? I mean, didn't you think they were going to get a couple of seconds or something? Trent Williams, their best player, been a Pro Bowl seven times. What are we talking about? It's like, okay, it's a new regime. I mean, I was thinking, who made this deal? Bruce Allen? No, they threw him out. But it seems like the same old sort of Redskin deal. All right, I want to shout out before we get out of here, Tony, to John Sally. I want to do that. And I want to say to Greg Moore and Vinnie Goodwill, who I just ripped earlier from Detroit, my guys.
Oh, don't back off.
To quote the great Tony Kornheiser, we kid because we love. Huh?
You yes, like but to quote the great Tony Kornheiser, we bear grudges forever. This is what we do.
Sage and Kevin, take it away before we say something we're going to regret.